It's so good to be with you. And I apologize, we've had lighting trouble this week and we've got sound trouble this week. And we've been trying to fix it, but we're still working on it. But we're here and we'll make the best out of it. Appreciate your patience in that. Today's gospel is such a blessing. I mean, it's a beautiful blessing. Just prior to this, Jesus had launched out a short distance from the Lake of Gennesaret in order to teach the great crowds of people who had gathered to hear him. He'd been in the house all day teaching. He said, well, I'm going to go outside. It must have been a lakeshore house. And I'm going to go outside and sit down. And boy, the crowds just thronged to him. And the only way he could teach was he had to get out in a boat and get out a little way from the shore. And then he started teaching. Now, he didn't have a sound system either, so he made it work. We'll make ours work. The beautiful thing about Jesus is this. People were attracted to him like filings to a magnet. You remember those little toys you used to have that have like a face on it, and there were filings in it, and then you take the little pin and move it to put a mustache on them or something. You remember those? Wherever that pin went, that's where the filings went. And it's the same way with Jesus. People were just attracted so much to his teaching because he taught with great authority and great truth. And it says the words amazed and astonished the people because of their ability to infuse hope, optimism, and renewal. And how true that is with the word of God, the teaching of God. That's why we heard the psalmist say this while ago, your words are more precious than thousands of gold and silver pieces. I love your words more than anything, O Lord. They're wonderful and shed light in my life. Isn't that beautiful? God has made himself known to us. Well, let's go on. Jesus eventually finishes teaching, disperses the crowd, and goes back into the house again. And as usual, as we've seen over the last 3 weeks, he gathers the apostles together to explain more fully to them the meaning of what he had just said. And after that, just out of the blue, Jesus, typical Jesus, he gives them another gift, namely two parables on what the kingdom of heaven is like. What's it like? Now, although these parables are just a couple of sentences long, their meaning and significance have been cause for millions down through the centuries to dedicate and devote their lives to God. So I want to encourage you now to sit at the feet of Jesus with the apostles and reflect upon the incomparable worth of God's kingdom. And since the parables are so short, I'm going to like to reread them again. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it. Powerful words. Well, the first thing that we notice out of these two parables is that there's nothing of greater worth in life than the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven, like God's word, the kingdom of heaven is like a massive treasure of gold, or it is something that is large and perfect, and it is of great value. See, these notions here, what they do is they convey to us the overflowing and the great beauty of God's kingdom. And what could be that priceless and so pleasing to behold? Well, Jesus says it is the kingdom of heaven. That is the most beautiful place. What does John say about heaven? In heaven, God will wipe away every tear. Death shall be no more. There shall be no more mourning, no crying, no pain. Peace is on every corner. Night shall be no more, for the Lord God will be the light, and he will dwell in the midst of his people forever. I call that perpetual joy. You know, we get glimpses of joy in this life today. We get a moment here and a moment there, and we feel good. Our spirits are picked up. But in heaven, it's perpetual. It's constant. It never stops, because all that's in the kingdom of heaven is good, because God is there. And it's just perpetual blessing. That's hard to even fathom in the world that we live in today. The second thing Jesus says is that the kingdom of heaven can also be found on earth. And how true that is. Obviously, the fullest of God's kingdom is found, the expression of it, is found in heaven. Like right now, it's found in heaven because that's where God is. That's where he has established himself. He is the king. He is the ruler there. I like how Jesus put it, though. He said, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, only in heaven at this time, only in heaven is God's will fully realized. And given the nature of God, that means only one thing. Things like goodness, love, peace, truth, and beauty dwell there. As a matter of fact, that's all that dwells there. There's nothing bad that dwells in heaven. It's all beautiful. Like I said, it's what you would call perpetual bliss. That's what it is. So could there be anything greater than that? But in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus does remind us, as he said, the kingdom of heaven can be found on earth. And we get those glimpses or those moments of the kingdom of heaven when we gaze at night, like last night, at the number of stars, and observe the smile of a newborn child. We hear the sounds of the kingdom of heaven when we sing Silent Night on Christmas Eve. That's one of the most beautiful moments in the Christmas moments. Or listen to the sound of the cicada. Last night they were going to town in the summer of the night. Just sort of stood out there and listened to them go at it, and how beautiful it was. We touch the kingdom of heaven when we venerate the cross on Good Friday, or receiving a hug from somebody when we're hurting. We feel the kingdom of heaven when we receive the Holy Eucharist or God's forgiveness through the sacrament of reconciliation, or by helping somebody out that is in need. See, it's in these moments that we see things as it is in heaven, and we realize what Jesus had to say, the immense treasure of God's kingdom. And nothing is more precious than that. Just imagine perpetual bliss. Just imagine that. It never ends. The third thing we observe in the two parables is the finder's response. And it is on this point that Jesus was really trying to hone in on the parables, which is to get a response from them. So the question is more pointed. He says, what would you do? What would you do if you came across the biggest and the greatest deal of a lifetime? What would you do? Would you walk away from it and forget about it? I don't think you would, but you'd do quite the opposite. That's what he's saying. You would drop everything and sell everything you had in order to obtain it. And you would be excited. Have you ever found those deals, like on a car or a house or something? It's like, man, look what I found. Or at the Dollar Tree, you know. Have you ever found anything like that? And it's just like, this is amazing. How in the world am I going to get this? But it is so true. And that's what Jesus is trying to say as well. It's worth everything. And we're not just talking about money. We're not talking about financial worth. We're talking about everything. And the most thing of greatest value is ourselves. It's worth giving of ourselves in order to receive this. So whether you stumble across the kingdom like a worker in the field, or you find it after an exhaustive search like a merchant, the response is always the same, always. It is joyfully giving everything in order to take possession of it. Wow, what some words we see there. Think back in your life. Are there things that at one time were considered to be very important to you, but now They no longer carry the weight that they did as they are seen in the light of the kingdom of God. See, that's what Jesus is talking about. Possessing the kingdom in this life and the life that is come has, is, and always will be, always worth dedicating your entire life to. It is treasure of great worth. It is pearl of great price. And that's why the psalmist says on numerous occasions, I delight to do your will, O God. There's nothing greater in life than to know that you're doing the will of the Father in your life, and nothing delights the Father more as well. So I'd like to leave you with a couple of thoughts for reflection this evening. First of all, do this. Acknowledge the inestimable worth and the beauty of the kingdom of heaven. And the second thing is this. Respond to God speaking. Maybe he's touching your heart tonight through the Holy Spirit. Respond by saying this. Lord, for the sake of possessing your kingdom, I give to the best of my ability my life, my all to you. God bless all of you.